You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Acme Packing Company Podcast Network. I'm Justice Mosqueda. To talk about the big game, we have a very special guest, Marshall Newhouse. Say what's up to the people, Marshall.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Super Bowl champion. What is that week like? You were on injured reserve that year, right?
Yes, I got put on like week 16, just a freak back spasm, and they kind of had to make a quick move to fill a roster spot before playoffs started. And, of course, they filled it. I got healthy, and I was like, well, I'm just a healthy guy on IR watching the playoffs. But I was around the facility, you know, attending meetings and stuff like that at practice, but just a little bit different role.
You know, just from a preparation standpoint, how different is it to have an extra week to prepare for some of these games? Like, you see some of the stats of, like, Andy Reid is, like, 17-4 coming off of a bye and all sorts of stuff. He seems to be really good about it, but – Is it the actual time, the actual preparation time that you have to like be able to scheme against, you know, what an opposing team has, or is it just the rest coming off of, you know, hey, we haven't played a football game in 14 days or whatever by the time we hit the field?
Yeah, I mean, that 2 weeks, it could be long and it could be positive for some teams and it could be negative. So yeah, you're definitely using that first week, getting people healthy, trying to keep things as normal as possible, just keep practicing in your own facility, sleeping in your own beds. You know, I remember when we were prepping, we hit a little bit just to kind of keep a sense of normalcy. So guys kind of felt, hey, my pads are set. I'm still playing football. You know, it's not all, you know, walkthroughs and stuff quite yet. But some teams, they might go overboard. So, you know, that 2 weeks is very there's a thin line there between underdoing it and getting guys ready and overdoing it, maybe pushing a little too far. I mean, the Patriots were known for going hard. That obviously worked in their favor. But there's teams, I imagine, who are trying to duplicate that, who maybe they took a little bit too much out of their guys. Because you want – this is the last game of the season, the biggest game of the season. You want guys firing, peaking on all cylinders. And so there's a fine line. There's a little bit of an art to that. And for some teams, it's more rest. For some teams, it's a little bit more prep. And so – for us, we definitely hit. We hit when we got to Dallas, too. And it seemed to work out pretty well.
As far as this game goes, what are you thinking is going to happen? I've seen all the things where it's like you look at the spread and it's like all the money is on the Eagles. I just can't find myself not picking Mahomes. I'm sorry.
I feel the same way, man. It's kind of fool's gold. I mean, to me, it's basically a toss-up, and in that toss-up, I'm taking Pat Mahomes. All the talk this week that I've been talking to people about is, you know, battles in the trenches. Of course, these are two good offensive line units, two good defensive line units, but, you know, ultimately, as long as there's not the calamity of pass protection that Pat had a couple of Super Bowls ago, it seems to me like he has the edge. His relationship with Kelsey – and the way he's spreading the ball out now as an adjustment, you know, to losing Tyreek Hill, it seems like he's just ascending and playing on another plane of existence. And I'm excited to watch that. I want him to thrive. Obviously, Jalen Hurts had an incredible season. They've surrounded him with a ton of talent. That team is stacked. They've done a great job in free agency, all levels of the defense and offense. But to me, you know, when things – this is good on good. These are both number one seeds. When things kind of start canceling and zeroing out, what factors remain? To me, the main factors are Pat Mahomes. Also, you know, you talked about Andy Reid prepping and having a good record with buys and whatnot. Steve Spagnuolo, I was talking to, you know, a guy we both know, Nate Tice. He mentioned Steve Spagnuolo having somewhat success with extra time to prep because he scouts better than anyone else. And I have to agree, I played with and against Steve Spags. And the kind of things he can do, even from, you know, a very aggressive defense, but with time to kind of see Jalen Hurts, who we know is a dual threat, is very dynamic, but you wouldn't say a drop back passer is best strength. He can do both things, but if they get one dimensional, Spags is going to have some stuff dialed up for him, and we're going to see how he reacts. Can he put passes on the money, both inside the hashes with end cutters and seam balls, and outside the hashes? So he's got two dynamic weapons, but we're going to find out really quickly, you know, what level he's on compared to Pat Mahomes, because we know what Mahomes can do. We're all just waiting, you know, so eventually it's going to happen. He's going to make some magic. His relationship, like I said, with Kelsey, Juju, they're missing Mecole Hardman, but, you know, MVS, Packers fans are very familiar with.
Yeah.
They've got enough guys to make some plays, and we know Pat can make them. On the other side, we're going to see, you know, this is going to be the biggest test, obviously, for the Super Bowl, but for the Eagles, they've kind of cruised this season. And maybe they're just that much better than everyone else. That could be the case. Howie Roseman has assembled an incredible team. Maybe they're just deeper and better than everyone else, but they haven't played a level of QB and a team of the caliber of the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I think when things kind of even out, I'm taking Mahomes with his experience and his magic. He's building and cementing a legacy as one of the all-time greats. He's still 27, but I still want to bet on him.
So that Eagles offensive line is really, really good, right? Like probably the best in the league. There's maybe a conversation with like two other teams, and that's about it, right?
Yeah.
That thing that you mentioned about Spagnuolo and how hard it is to kind of deal with everything that he throws at you, right? Because he's going to throw a ton at you. How can you – do you think you can adequately prepare for that in practice? Because obviously that's something that you've had to go through playing against him in the league. Like, what are those practices like leading up to it? Because, I mean, full physicality usually isn't on – the plate, right? In a lot of these practices, you can't hit the quarterback, right? So, like, yeah. how can you feel confident going into it with Jalen Hurts that you're like fully prepared for what Spags is going to throw out there when he's sending safeties or nickels or whatever it is that he's going to throw at you?
For sure. I mean, there, you know, it's definitely mental reps, and you know, I remember when we were playing, especially in Green Bay against Spags, we had just the deepest blitz tape, and we had cards that we'd have for the scout team. And it was the deepest of any coordinator we faced because he could bring so much in so many different places. But so much of that is also situational. So you're trying to tell yourself as an offense, hey, we just got to stay ahead of the chains, stay on schedule. Jalen Hurts can do that with his feet, keep you in second and manageable, third and manageable. And that takes a lot out of Spags' arsenal. But when you're missing throws on first down or you're running for a one-yard gain or a zero-yard gain, that's when you start to dial stuff up. It gets you uncomfortable, and then you start making mistakes because you're seeing things that might not be there because he does bring safety from deep. He brings them from off the edge. He disguises really well, slot pressures, and he can do a lot of things when you give him, you know, those third and longs to kind of game plan. We call it getting cute. If you give him a chance to get cute, he will get cute, and he can make some impact. And I think, you know, in this era, he's actually becoming a more and more vital defensive coordinator because of the way that statistics and analytics are being used to pinpoint, hey, you know, when an offense is in this on this hash with this down distance, this is what their tendency is. The more information he has, the more dynamic his defense can be. So with the Eagles, you're just like, let's stay ahead of the schedule. Don't force anything. We'll take our spots. We can run the ball, make them stop the run, and then we'll take our chances with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Makes sense to me. I want to get into some fun here. I saw on your Wikipedia page, which, by the way, do you like having a Wikipedia page? How weird is having a Wikipedia page?
You know, it was that it's always been weird, and it's funny. When it first appeared, I had no input in getting it edited or whatever. So out of the blue, some stuff from my high school appeared. I'm like, I don't even remember doing that in high school. And every time I'd have an interview, people would, you know, they'd scan the Wikipedia and they'd bring it up because I know exactly what you're about to say. And I'm like, I don't even remember doing that, but apparently someone knew about it and put it on. And so it's there for history. I guess it could be edited still, but it's there for prosperity. So
yeah,
it's definitely
say,
a weird thing.
Horticulture Society.
And yeah, so literally the story behind that is, you know, I'm a junior becoming a senior, and all they tell you is, you know, be a part of clubs, add stuff to your, you know, your resume. When you're a kid, you don't have a real job, so you don't know what a resume means. But we called it a club day at our high school where after school, there's a bunch of tables set up where you can apply to join these clubs where you do try to participate, stuff you might be interested in. And for me, I had football. That was enough of a job. But I was like, let me join some stuff that sounds eclectic. And, you know, I haven't planted a plant in my entire life before Culture Society sounded funny. And so I went to one meeting and I got to put it on my application for college. I was also in Japanese society, which I think I have more of an affinity to Japanese culture, but it was still just so random. And the fact that they stayed on my Wikipedia this long and I'm getting referenced for it, you know, almost 15, 16 years later is just funny to me.
I was going to ask if you know, plants ever came up between you and Aaron Rodgers. He seems to like to talk about plants recently.
Yeah, you know, back then in that phase of his life, I don't know if he was as quite adept in the plant category, but maybe now. Maybe talk about some of our mushroom brethren and our herbal brethren and see what kind of clicks. But yeah, not back then. I didn't have any wherewithal back then.
So what was your impression of Aaron? Because we hear, you know, some of the things like, obviously, he's super tight with like guys like Randall Cobb and David Bakhtiari and stuff. And then you hear from some of the younger guys, which, you know, you guys were at least closer in age at the time, right? You came into the league in 2010. So you guys probably had more in common than what he has with Dobbs, where, you know, Dobbs basically said, like, it's just football with him. Like, I'm 22, yeah. He's 38. Like, we don't have that much in common outside of ball right now. So what was your impression of Aaron in your time in Green Bay?
It was always great. You know, back then they had a kind of a tight knit group before I got there of the, you know, the Mark Tauschers and the Chad Cliftons and that the line group, and then, you know, Jordy Nelson and those guys, and John Kuhn, who was just an all time, you know, shit talker. But I love those guys. I mean, we had a good time and we spent time together off the field. We had O-line dinners Aaron would come to. But yeah, I mean, I knew that before going in. That you can't be best friends with everybody. This is a business. Now you hope that there are guys who you bond with both on a business level so you could be good teammates to each other. And then hopefully that bleeds over into real life. You're like, man, this is a good dude. I'd have a beer with him. I spend time with him. And I'd say that about Aaron. We just didn't have a lot of time to do it. And, you know, there are guys who I still talk to, and he's one of those guys sparingly that I still check in with and talk to, but I don't take offense to, you know, me and him not being best friends. It's just like, that's just not realistic. And like, again, I went on to play for the Giants. I played with Eli Manning. Eli Manning was 36 with three kids and a wife. We're just different phases of life. Like, we're not going to be best friends with everybody. And so I understood that. And I think most players understand that. But I think the fans kind of hear that clip from Romeo and they're like, they take it out of context. And I think they make it more about more than it really needs to be about. And so, you know, Aaron was always really kind to me and nice to the guys and sometimes maybe closed off, but that's his prerogative. I didn't take it personally. But we definitely hung out sometimes, and he's a guy that, you know, around Christmas, always loved to celebrate the holidays. We had a good working relationship. And so to me, outside of that, everything else is icing. For other people, maybe not so much, but for me, it was great.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do you see all this stuff playing out? Obviously, you know, there's big decisions this offseason, not only like on Aaron's side? Like, are you going to retire? Are you not going to retire? If you do come back, do you want to come back to Green Bay? Do you want to go somewhere else? And then the Packers, right, they just came out the fifth-year option number. You know, Jordan Love, they basically have to decide until the week of the draft or the week after the draft.
It's like $20 million or something, right?
Yeah, it's a $20 million fifth-year option for a guy who's made one start before. And that's they're either going to have to pick up or turn down. So,
and you'd be paying your QB room $70 million. That's a tough number.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think so. One's got to go at that point.
Yeah. And so, listen, I think he's still going to play. He's doing his darkest retreat. And I hope he finds what he's looking for there. I support it fully. And, you know, hopefully he comes back healthier and better emotionally and spiritually. I still think he's going to play, you know, on multiple fronts. I don't think. We'll talk about it from this angle. Who just retired? Who he'd rather not be accepting his gold jacket role? Put it that way.
Yeah, Tom Brady. He mentioned that, and he was like, "I don't think about that at all." And I'm like, "You got to think about it a little bit, right?"
I don't believe it. So, maybe that's a small factor. Maybe it's a bigger one for us than it is for him, but it's a factor. And then I think he's still got stuff to prove. We see glimpses when he's on, when he's dialed in, and you know, he's working with new receivers, young receivers, and so much of the offense is very coordinated and very specific. And if they don't have specifics down, it's hard to have the offense turning at full speed, especially when guys are healthy and they're in and out. I still think he has a lot to prove. You know, Tom kind of has changed the paradigm for, you know, what groups were expecting out of older quarterbacks. And so I think Aaron has definitely, I think that gave him a shot of life a little bit to be like, if I still enjoy this, why would I not be playing? It just does feel like the relationship was a little fractured with the Packers. We've kind of, you know, Packers fans already went through this with Brett on his way out. And I think we're entering, you know, year three, year four of kind of some of the back and forth. And he said, she said, passive aggression, like weird signaling, holding out, stuff like that. It feels like that relationship has fractured to the point of it's not going to be a good working relationship anymore on top of the money and then the Jordan Love stuff. So it feels like I think he's going to play. It's hard to imagine because that's all he's ever been. He's got the Super Bowl and he's played so many incredible years with the Packers, memories, but it feels like it's just the time in Green Bay is done. We could all be wrong. People want to come go out on a high note with the Packers and we'll see, but it feels like he still wants to play. Tom has already, you know, taken the hit in the bat for a veteran QB who played all his career for one team and finished with another. So we don't have to worry about that. So, you know, I think it comes down to the best situation for him, where his heart's at, but it does feel like it's a strained relationship.
Because obviously a lot does end up going back to the Love selection and stuff, right? And the decision of the team.
Sure.
From their perspective, right, the team protecting themselves of a potential decline from Rodgers. And then Rodgers seeing that as you have started to plan for life without me and are no longer – giving me all the, you're not giving me the full, you know, taste of
that. That was a turning point. That was a move that you just couldn't take back with any words, with any emotions. Yeah.
Right. With that in mind, and again, we already mentioned, you know, the Rodgers stuff, the Jordan Love, the number that's going to have to be decided soon. Is there any way you think that you can make, because you've been in practices before, you know, post 2011 CBA, right, and all the restrictions that came with that. Do you think that there's any way to make a decision on a quarterback at that level just through practice film? Because he had something like 20 passes, 26 passes, something like that this past year.
Yeah.
And last year he had the one start against Kansas City. But how much are you actually getting out of these practices when Rodgers is missing a Wednesday because of the thumb and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, I think on the negative front, it's hard to find, you know, too many, you know, chinks in someone's armor, their flaws, real flaws in practice. But you can definitely see the wow stuff. And if you haven't seen enough wow stuff in 4 years, to me, that means that they are seriously contemplating, you know, what Jordan Love's ceiling is. And that's kind of the discussion they're having is, you know, where can we take this? Where is this going to go? But practice, you know, there are situations you can kind of artificially produce to try to get desired outcome, how he's going to work under pressure. And, but it'll never be the game. But you can definitely see, like, from an arm talent and, you know, how does he work within the system? Is he doing the right things? So there's stuff you can find out, but as far as that's a hard decision to make without green film. And traditionally, you want a guy to take some lumps. You want to see how he bounces back, because there has not been a rookie QB who's gone without struggle. And so that's been the tough part, is he hadn't seen the field a lot. And that's a hard decision. That's a tough place to be. You're just lacking information. And so I don't envy them. I don't envy them having to do all this. This is a freaking tightrope that, you know, not many, you know, organizations are prepared to make. They're probably more prepared than most. But, you know, it's such a hard decision, knowing that, you know, that decision is going to decide the next 5 years of your franchise. And a franchise that is publicly owned, we all know that. They operate a little bit differently than everyone else. So I don't know if I answered the question, but it's just like that's a tough place to be. I don't envy it.
Let's get you out on this one. You know, everyone says, like, every NFL, because you just mentioned, you know, family owned and how they're a little different. Everyone says, like, the NFL is 32, you know, family owned businesses, basically, and they're operating, you know, on their own beat of the drum. What was, like, give me something tangible, because you played in the league for a long time with a couple different teams. What is something that's like, you point to Green Bay and you're like, they do this, which, like, didn't happen elsewhere?
It's hard to point to one thing, but just like the overall, you know, there was a feeling of some familiarity, but more with the staff and stuff like that. I still have the numbers of Flea, the head trainer, and you know, I say hi to Matt if I came as on another team, I'd say hi to Matt. I'd say hi to every. I mean, it's just like, maybe it was just because I was a rookie and I got drafted there, so there was just like, that's kind of the imprinting of being a young player and getting to know those guys for 4 years. But there was a sense of, you know, a familial nature there, even with the business part of it lurking and always being there. And so there are other places that had similar feels, but overall, the Green Bay, because you're in a small town, there's just so much there that's unique, that it kind of also plays into your experience as a player from the day-to-day side. And so I don't know if there's anything else that stuck out. Obviously, the, you know, you're playing, but the fan atmosphere, the game day stuff, that's, you know, wholly unique. And I couldn't have asked for a better place to start my career. But yeah, like, just the people organization are top notch, incredible people, do anything for you. And when I was struggling, you know, at the end of my Green Bay tenure, having a lot of emotional stuff that I kept to myself and just struggling with my own performance and my own just like life, personal stuff, there are people there that I leaned on. And, you know, there's other places that there might not have been the resources there or the accessibility for a young player to do some of that stuff. So I'm eternally grateful to them. And to me, that's kind of the more unique thing about them, but it exists other places, but Green Bay is a very special place.
Awesome. Let the people know where they can find you. Follow yourself.
Yeah, I'm at Twitter and Instagram at mnewhouse73. I'm slowly getting into sports media. I've gone over the dark side. So be, you know, expecting me around, hopefully talking NFL stuff on some of the major networks and any podcasters out there. I've been doing stuff with Gullah Jr. and people of that nature. So I'll be around a little bit more, but I'm around just enjoying retirement.
Awesome, man. Take care.
Appreciate it.
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas? Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on?
Call mom?
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.